You're listening to the John DePietro Show. So much for 3 weeks or 3 months. How about 3 years? That's what now national transportation is saying about the bridge situation. What an absolute disaster. I don't understand how Governor McKee is still trying to, this business of safety, and this is about mismanagement. This is about incompetence. This is about a complete failure of local government, where taxpaying citizens and businesses put tremendous trust into local government with the idea that, okay, you know, we'll pay this, we'll pay our taxes. We understand the importance of bridge maintenance, improving the roads, bridge inspection, everything that goes along with it. It's a big part of, I mean, it is what it is. It's Rhode Island. There are bridges, there's water, and this is one of them. But I don't understand this victory lap that Governor McKee is trying to make, that somehow he's the hero who, hey, we're just trying to keep people safe and we're just trying to do what's right. And you have to go back over the past couple of years. Who was in charge of that? Who was checking off that it was all fine? Who was inspecting it? Who is signing off on all this? These are all perfectly legitimate questions. We haven't gotten any answers on this. And for them to now step aside and say, well, it looks like, you know, it could be a couple of years, and now the National Federal Highway Administrator is touring this. Completely, completely unacceptable. Absolutely disgraceful. Let's pick up the piece from Channel 12.
By the Washington Bridge closure, and leaders in D.C. say they want Rhode Islanders to know that people at a federal level are watching this closely.
After getting a first-hand look at the Washington Bridge themselves, state, local, and federal leaders walked down the Gaynor Street off-ramp to give us an update.
Got a great briefing. Secretary Buttigieg has been in regular contact with the delegation.
Included in the group, the National Highway Administrator, Shailen Bhatt. He was sworn in by U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg at the end of 2022.
As a federal highway administrator, we had closures in Pennsylvania and California, and my message to the people of Rhode Island is, whether it's federal, state, or local resources, we've got everybody aligned here to get this bridge repaired or replaced as quickly as possible.
That is in Providence because there's a chance the westbound side of the Washington Bridge has to be torn down and rebuilt, something that he says would likely take a year or two to complete if state leaders decide that's what's necessary.
When bridges close, communities really feel the impact. And I know the mayors of Providence and East Providence, the citizens and the constituents who live there, I'm sure are feeling all of the overflow traffic that is going through streets. It happened in Philadelphia when I-95 was closed, and in LA when the 405 was closed. And so our hearts go out to the people who are really bearing the impacts of this.
And Bhatt says he really wants national bridge experts to work with Rideout on this. But again, there is still no clear timeline or plan on what happens from here. It is worth noting that Director Peter Alviti today was not answering any questions. Reporting live in East Providence tonight, I'm Sheena Loshudo, 12 News.
It is interesting. I'm sure at the direction and behest of Governor McKee. But how long is that going to take? You know, all these studies, what people need to recognize, all these consultants, all of these studies, these people don't work at breakneck speed. They work at their own pace. I find that the locals, the McKee administration, they keep setting deadlines. And the problem when you're starting to set deadlines is it's like setting a red line in the sand. Then everything starts to evolve around the deadline that you set up. So they set up, meaning the McKee administration, they set up that first they said that it would be affected for 3 months. Now they say we should have an answer within, I think they said, end of February into March. They keep setting up deadlines. Is that a real deadline? Do we know that that's the real timeline that we're talking about? I doubt it. Again, there are national people. The one good sign here was that it was a national individual coming in, has experience, other parts of the country, different perspective. I find it hard to believe that, you know, this is the first time anyone's ever faced anything like this. But it doesn't excuse the fact that there was tremendous faith put into this administration, that they were overseeing everything. And on top of that, keep in mind, at the State of the State, Governor McKee, they were like taking bows and they were patting themselves on the back for a job well done. This is a massive screw up, and it's going to take years to correct. People's lives are going to be, as they say, inconvenienced, but for a very long time. If they're being honest, they don't know how long it's going to take. They don't have a plan. I'm not saying they should, but it also just comes back to, how is this possible that this particular section of bridge, that it was still being approved, that no one thought anything of going over that. It was all signed off. Now you have a problem with trucks on some of the side roads in Providence. I mean, and with Governor McKee, no matter what he tries to focus on, it all comes back to this. And at any time, there could be an accident, then there's more gridlock, then there's more traffic jams. It is never ending. So that is the latest on the bridge. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvement, call them today for a free quote. You can also find them on Facebook, 401-323-9252. 323-9252, AJ, drywall, plasters, home improvement, frame to finish basements. What a difference it'll make in your basement. Acoustic ceilings. Look how beautiful your ceiling could be. New homes, additions. Also, commercial rehabs, painting, remodeling. Contact them today. It's a family-run business. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvements. Call for a free quote. What a difference they'll make in your home, your ceilings, floors, basements. 401-323-9252. What a difference. Beautiful walls and ceilings. 401-323-9252. You can also find them on Facebook. It's AJ Drywall, Plaster, and Home Improvements for your home or business. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Well, talk continues, trying to get some sort of a deal in Washington regarding the border security bill. Let's pick up the latest with ABC.
50 years since a cabinet secretary was impeached by the House, but never over a policy dispute. Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was deeply involved in those Senate negotiations. That border deal now on thin ice. This morning, a growing number of Senate Republicans threatening to vote against the border deal their own party helped negotiate.
Until we agree on the same goal that we want to secure the border, then there's not a path forward.
At least 22 senators say they will not support the package. And the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, calls it dead on arrival.
I just don't believe that the Senate bill, as I've explained in all of our statements, meets the criteria that's necessary to solve the problem.
The bill includes $20 billion for border security, forcing the border to shut down when migrant apprehensions reach 5,000 a day and making it more difficult to apply for asylum in the U.S. The package also adds $60 billion for Ukraine and $14 billion for Israel. Months ago, House Speaker Mike Johnson called for a compromise like this one.
We want to pair border security with Ukraine because I think we can get bipartisan agreement on both of those matters.
But that was before Donald Trump weighed in.
It's a trap for Republicans that would be so stupid, so foolish to sign a bill like this.
Is this pressure from Trump misguided? Is it helpful?
He's trying to get elected back to be the president of the United States. I've got something I'm trying to accomplish. It's securing the nation and our borders right now.
Senate negotiators touting that the bill is even supported by the conservative-leaning Border Patrol Union, which calls it a step in the right direction.
Many Senate Republicans are going to oppose this bill because it's too effective. Because Donald Trump is telling them, no, keep chaos at the border. Don't solve the problem, because that's good politics for us. Well, that's really bad for the country.
House Republicans not interested in the Senate solution are moving forward with a vote today to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over his handling of the border.
The moment is urgent. Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas must be impeached.
Republicans say Mayorkas has willfully and systemically refused to enforce immigration laws. Democrats calling it a political stunt.
Now they want to impeach a man for not doing his job when you didn't give him the resources to do it.
If everyone is voting and present today, Johnson can only afford to lose three Republicans and already won. Congressman Ken Buck told me he will not support this effort, calling it a policy difference, not an impeachable offense. Either way, it is highly unlikely that a Democratic-controlled Senate would convict Mayorkas George.
You know, and people wonder why. People have lost complete faith in Washington in getting anything done. I mean, it's just, you know, ludicrous at this point. And I understand the play, by the way, and that is that he didn't do anything, and they allowed the situation to fester and get worse. And now, all of a sudden, now as they see that it's such an issue for voters, now they're saying that they would like to try to work out a deal and hammer out a deal. But they were silent. Where have they been over the past couple of years? So, you know, I can see it both ways. It's only a couple months. All of a sudden now, Democrats are desperate to try to get some kind of a border deal. But they certainly didn't seem to be concerned in the past. And as far as, you know, now they're it also includes Ukraine and Israel aid as well. Let me just play a little bit more. This is the NBC package.
Bill does not meet the criteria, and that's why it's dead on arrival.
For Republicans like House Whip Tom Emmer, the bill does not do enough to address the border crisis.
You have given us a product that, quite frankly, is offensive to the American people and unacceptable.
But the Democrat who led the negotiations, Senator Chris Murphy, says the concerns are not related to the policy, but instead the politics of an election year.
What they seem to want is just chaos. They want to keep the border unsolved as a problem so that it benefits them in the upcoming election.
Trump slamming the bill again overnight.
This is a Democrat trap that would be so stupid, so foolish to sign a bill like this.
If the bill stalls, it will mean there will be no path toward changing the situation at the border. Frustrating for Sheriff Javier Salazar on the front lines in Bexar County, Texas. He's begging for something to get done.
To us, it's not a red and blue issue. It's about the gold in our badges.
The growing problem, part of the reason Republican Senator James Lankford took the lead in negotiating a fix and is warning his colleagues about the consequences of doing nothing.
It's a national security crisis, and we should treat it that way.
And while the House has called the bill dead on arrival, they are pushing forward with the effort to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
8 yeas, 4 nays.
And the ayes have it.
The Rules Committee sending the articles of impeachment to the floor for a full vote today.
And the vote to impeach Mayorkas is no guarantee. Republicans can only afford to lose 2 votes after Ken Buck of Colorado said that he plans to vote no. Mayorkas has called the impeachment push a political stunt. Savannah?
Okay.
Propane Plus. Call them today. Heating and cooling in Rhode Island, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. For Propane Plus. 3 generations you can always depend on Propane Plus for all your heating and cooling. Call them today, 401-885-4209. 3 generations, they're available 24/7 for service and delivery, and they're going to serve you for a very long time. They have a great user-friendly website. You just log on at propaneplus.com, and then you type in your zip code, residential, commercial, Propane Plus. Heating and cooling, always there for you. Give them a call today. In Rhode Island, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. The Johnson family, 3 generations. Heating and cooling, you can always depend on Propane Plus. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show weekdays. We start at 11. We go until 2 p.m., 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on AM 1380, 99.9 FM. You can always listen online at the website, DePietro.com. It's time for our segment, Politics This Week. Joining us, he is the managing editor, AnchorRising.com. It is Justin Katz. Justin, why don't we start off with, there's so many elements to the bridge. We're going to touch on them all. But just, I'd like to get your reaction to, at the end of last week, Rhode Island Governor Dan McKee telling reporters he should have been informed sooner about the problems of the Washington Bridge in the days leading up to the closure. He also claimed that he actually didn't know that his director of Rhode Island DOT, Peter Alviti, he didn't know that he was going to be live on television Monday, December 11th at 5 o'clock until he actually saw Alviti on television.
Well, the first thing to observe is, or the opinion to offer is that it's hard to believe any of it coming from McKee, frankly. I mean, because he's not concerned until it becomes controversial. He's not concerned about a delay in being informed until the news media gets emails or something and comes to him and says, well, why were they so slow in getting to you? Then it's a problem. He's so reactive. He's not out there saying, look, I didn't know about this fast enough. I'm telling you I didn't get that email, and this is what we're doing to fix it. He's not doing that. It's all just kind of, you know, who knows? They have these phone calls. I mean, one of the bits of information we have is from Alviti saying, it's a text saying, please give me a call right away, basically, which you do that because you want to have a phone conversation that can't be requested from a public records request. And so who knows what's happening on these sorts of phone conversations.
Right.
It could be, you know what, Peter, could you go out there, do this? I'll deny I knew about it because I got to protect myself, but let's try kind of keep this quiet. You know, you don't know. I mean, this is a governor who goes out for lunch with lobbyists and lets the lobbyists pay, right? He just thinks that's how the stuff's done. So I don't know if I believe any of it. But on the other hand, you know, he's not proving to be very, let's just say, I'm not sure that having Dan McKee's brain in the mix for big decisions is helpful. So, you know, the effect of it is probably pretty minimal and might even beneficial. And so that's another aspect you have to take into consideration, especially with the kind of government we have in Rhode Island, where the people who are the kind of the subject matter experts, the bureaucrats who are running the stuff, the engineers, if they're trying to find ways around the governor, that doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad decision. Politically, they should, because he's the people's representatives, but that's another angle that you have to consider, that there's a reason if people are being slow to tell him things. There might be a reason, and it might not be because the people don't want the governor to know because he's the representative of the people. It might be because getting him involved just makes things more difficult.
You know, that's an excellent point, Justin. And I also want to point out, and people just look at the timeline, this was 8 weeks ago, and he's just now saying, gee, I think I should have learned sooner than 72 hours after they knew. I also, I mean, it took him 8 weeks to come to that. But Justin, I think you're exactly right. The fact that, you know, let's talk, so then it's not anything in writing, it would seem odd to me, almost unbelievable, that after having that conversation, that the governor said he, like, what kind of organization is he running that he didn't find out, supposedly? And I agree with you, I'm not sure I believe that, but 72 hours after they learned it. And not only that, he only learned his director is going on live television on Monday afternoon, December 11th, to announce that the bridge is being closed, and the governor is first learning as he's in his statehouse office and they have the television on.
Yeah, well, that was a big Obama line, right? I'm learning about this with you guys. I didn't know anything about this, which raises some questions. And it seems like it's probably useful information that they're ignorant, that they're deliberately ignorant in that regard. And you know, the you're phrasing it as, you know, it took him what, 8 weeks or whatever to realize, hey, I should have known sooner. You know, you can almost envision a comedy sketch of Governor McKee. You know, well, Governor, what do you think about the fact that you didn't know for 72 hours? Well, I don't know. What do you think about that? Was that bad? Yeah. Should I have known? Oh, yeah, maybe if you think I should have known, then I guess I should have known. I mean, that's kind of the impression you get from this guy, and it's not a good one. Either it matters or it doesn't. And frankly, the whole thing at this point seems almost like a distraction. All right, I don't care. Let's stop arguing, in my view, you know, for the news media. Okay, it took him 72 hours to find it. Let's dig into the reason the bridge is falling apart. I mean, that's kind of to some extent, all these controversies start to feel almost like deliberate distractions to have us talking about the bumbling governor instead of the bumbling government that can't get anything done. And I think that's a risk that the news media should start to look out for.
A local business leader who'll go unnamed said, he said the thing that was missing from that bit of information was the governor terminated the following people because he didn't learn that the bridge, you know, the difficulty with it, 72 hours. He said, you know, and he's right. That's the missing part of this. That's where you say, as a result of that, this person's going to go, this person's going to go. It's also unclear, Justin, when, you know, it's such like a nuance and kind of a word salad game where, does that mean that no one is in his administration knew? Or, as you say, does he say to his staff, I don't want to know that, but does someone, granted, Alvini, it's a direct report to him. What do you make of, in your impression, that he's now saying, yeah, let's get to the real root cause of this. Let's go back to 2018 and find out. I just wonder, is there something more that he knows that he never said anything? He's clearly like almost trying to do hot potato with now Commerce Secretary, former Governor Raimondo.
Right. Well, I mean, there have been news reports about, you know, investigations of the bridge going back a long time, and the FBI investigation from the federal investigation into spending money goes back to the Raimondo administration. And I could really see McKee just kind of seeing that and going, oh, I can pass the buck to Raimondo. You know, yeah. So I don't know that what he knows or doesn't know. It's hard to, even if he knows something, it's hard to know whether he's processing it in a competent way. But so I, you know, who knows? But it is a great point that about how it's all just spin and how will I look if I say this or that? And there's no action. Like the person you quoted, was saying, I did not learn in time or quickly enough, and therefore X.
Exactly.
that permeates our entire conversation with McKee, but our state government too. Just, yes, this was a problem, and therefore we will do this. It's just,
exactly.
Instead you get spin, like we talked about last week with Peter Alvini. Oh, well, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Oh, well, we get a lot of bridges fixed. Well, all right. What about this one? That's the issue now. Let's talk about this one. And there's a very big reluctance in getting to the root causes. And that's why when he says something like that, I disbelieve it instantly, because turning your eyes to 2018 is not the root cause of a multi-million dollar decades old bridge falling apart. That didn't happen in 7 years. Something else. There's something deeper that's ongoing that needs to be addressed. And frankly, that's what's starting to shock me in all this, is nobody's digging into it at all. Even the East Providence Council president, who we discussed last week, talking about declaring emergency to get federal aid and federal help. That's okay. Well, that's maybe to pull us out of the weeds a bit, but it doesn't address the problem. Nobody's calling for to fix the root causes. Nobody's saying things like, I don't know, we need to suspend ridiculous union working rules and regulations until this is fixed, because it's destroying our local economy. So all that stuff has to go out the window until this is done. Nobody's even, as far as I know, I'm the first person who's uttered a sentence like that in Rhode Island. That to me is the root causes. Why can we not maintain our bridges? Why? It's not money. It's something else. Why is that? And nobody talks about that. That's what's getting really frustrating to me.
Folks, quick break. Much more ahead. Politics This Week with Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com, right here on the John DePietro Show.
All your oil needs, make it Henry Oil. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Reliable, affordable fuel oil delivery. Call Henry Oil today. Fuel oil, diesel, gasoline delivery. It's Henry Oil, residential, commercial fuel oil delivery since 1947. They also have budget plans, service contracts, lock and cap pricing, you can depend on Henry Oil. Call them today, 401-521-0200. Serving most of Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. We got a long way to go with winter. Make sure that tank is filled. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Henry Oil, a local family-run business since 1947 that you can depend on. For all your oil needs, call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200.
Our segment is Politics This Week. With us is Justin Katz, Managing Editor at AnchorRising.com. Justin, I want to stay on the bridge just for a moment. I found this disturbing, odd, unusual. I don't know exactly whose idea this was, but apparently there's a new traffic pattern they're trying. Okay, I could see, you know, you're touching base with various people, you have experts coming in, the amount of money it's causing with consultants and so forth. Apparently, according to the mayor of East Providence, this was the idea of a constituent, someone who lives near 195, who came up with the idea for new traffic pattern. I don't know if this is a way to try to curry favor with the locals, or it's part of the whole McKee thing of like, hey, it's a team, we're all in it together. But I don't find anything reassuring that with the amount of money that is spent on experts and engineering and consultants and studies, that someone that lives near there and says, hey, I have an idea, why don't we make it go two lanes down? And they actually put it in motion. And right now, as we're speaking, it doesn't seem to have any impact, and it's not alleviating the problem in any way.
Well, I don't know. I always want to hesitate to offer my, you know, expert opinion as a driver for the reasons you just said with the local guy. But just driving through that area, it's hard to believe anybody would possibly think it would help to merge sooner. I mean, one of the few things that keeps traffic moving, from what I can tell, is that there are local people getting off the exits that are closer to the bridge, can sneak up on the right side and get off the bridge, get off the highway sooner. Moving right. The traffic back, I it just makes no sense to me, knowing that area a little bit. And it's the kind of thing you do wonder if it's more like political favor, if somebody local is saying, you know what, this is causing me a pain because everybody's doing X, the traffic is doing this. So even though it'll slow everybody down, we should move the merge back. Something like that just seems, it seems mind blowing to me, but I would have predicted it wouldn't have an effect. In fact, I'd have predicted it would make things worse. And from what I'm seeing, that's probably the real effect. It's just, it raises that question. As you say, we spend millions and millions of dollars on not only state employees, but then consultants and experts. And where are they? How can they not come up with a better plan than this? It just makes no sense to me whatsoever.
And then, Justin, because of, you know, I don't like all this unnamed, you know, it's the young engineer that spotted it. Is this like, who's the person? Is it Bob Walsh? Is it a donor? Is it someone that they're trying to curry favor with, or someone that they don't want to say no to? One of the reasons why, you know, with government is there has to be a name. I don't know where this is coming from, where suddenly now there's all these like anonymous people, the young engineer that wanted to stay in the shadows. And now it's a concerned citizen that came up with the new traffic pattern. That's not the way our government works. Everything is supposed to have some accountability attached to it. Otherwise, how do we know that this just isn't, as I said, some big donor to the East Providence mayor who then they don't want to tell him like, hey, that's a lousy idea. So instead it's, oh, we're going to try it. This is from a concerned citizen that lives in the area.
That's a great point. You need to know. I mean, that's the big problem with doing just about as anything that you can't otherwise do through government, because you get these dispersion of responsibility. Nobody ever pays for it. And when you don't put a name on it, that's even worse. Who is making these decisions? Is it that they don't want us to know? I mean, it should be, if you're coming up with these great ideas, you should want to be out there, right? Oh yeah, right. Bob Smith, that five
Yes.
Five Main Road came up with this fantastic idea. You know, now we're going to bring up Bob Smith. You know, okay, that should be the way it goes. But it's so emblematic of kind of the Rhode Island insider system. And you never know why things are happening. And, I mean, it broadens the scope quite a bit. But when I've read legislation, sometimes it's, where is this coming from? You know, some insurance, the insurance industry gets a little extra. The auto body people get a little extra. Oh, we're going to change this, tweak this little thing with the liquor licenses. You know, okay, it looks okay on its face, but where is this coming from? Somebody cares about that. We should know why and who. And that's, if there's a reason to know for political donors, that's a big one. But when they come out and say, here's our new traffic pattern, it ought to be, this is our engineer on the fifth floor came up with this great idea. We ran it through a bunch of models, and this is how the traffic can flow better. Instead, it's just, I don't know, we're going to give it a try. It's mind blowing, but it's so, so typical of Rhode Island.
Yeah, and I don't like it. I think they should be called out on it. Can you imagine if it was, you know, on third and two, Coach Belichick went up to the sixth row and asked season ticket holder, Harry Jones, what play do you think we should call on third and two here? My response would be, well, we have the wrong person coaching the team. As you say, it is outrageous how much that is spent. These engineers, these experts, they have, you know, they could check with even just in the New England region, what did other places do when they came into something? The fact that they, and the mayor of East Providence, well, I don't know, no, this was a local person that suggested this new traffic pattern. I don't like it. Justin, also, what is your thought on, so Governor McKee, all the local media, they put in public records requests after the bridge was closed on December 11th. So Channel 12 and 10 and the Journal and so forth, they started publicizing, and Channel 12 really did it, where they had Tim White, he had to drop off a check for $300, and they were charging them first that they were charging them the money. But I don't understand this business that Governor McKee actually tried to come off as a hero, that then the media outlets were being reimbursed for this. I think the Journal was charged like $900.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous to its core. I mean, first of all, from what I understand, they were seeking a handful of emails from a very limited period. This should not, and they were asking for them in digital form. There wasn't even a printing cost. This should not cost anything. And the idea that they're all being charged different amounts, the reality of it is the first person who requests something is the one who will tend to have to pay, because theoretically there's work that has to be done to produce it. But anybody who asks for the same thing after that, there's no reason to charge anything. But the idea that it's $450 for you, it's $300 for you, we're just piling them all together. And then the idea that the governor can just swoop in and say, we're going to waive these. Okay, well, what if it were just Joe Citizen, right? What if it's Nicole Solis seeking information on school emails? That person doesn't get the special treatment. The news media does, because they make a big deal out of it. But if there was a legitimate cost, let them pay for it. But what it shows is there was no legitimate cost. This is all just nonsense. They're delaying. They're making things. You know, it only redounds to their discredit. This is very easy to predict. Okay, I'm going to charge all the news organizations a lot of money to send them a couple emails. I'm going to charge them different amounts, and then they're going to do stories and everything will be great. You know, you almost start to wonder about conspiracies, like if they're doing this to distract the journalists, because then they spend a week complaining about having to pay for public records instead of reporting on something that might be more substantive. I mean, it's so ludicrous to do this that you wonder if it's on purpose, or they're really that bumbling. And you know, somebody in the office says, oh, I don't like that Kathy Gregg, I'm going to charge her $300. And then the governor steps in, no, you're not going to do that. It's amazing to me. It shows you we really don't have professionals, credible professionals operating our state. It's just that simple.
Yeah, I don't understand even how, like, are they that tone deaf that when they were going to be charged, in other words, the governor shouldn't have had to step in. You would think something of this magnitude, it would have gone up the chain, and then they would have found out, and they either wouldn't have been charged, or I think Channel 12 would have said, no, you said $300, we're paying it, almost like we're refusing the refund. We're not going to play into this game where then, you know, you're the owner of the restaurant, you come over and say, hey, don't worry, dessert's on the house. No. You said that's how much it's going to be. And then we found out Channel 10 was balking. The Boston Globe talked about it. But it also, They also omitted, I should say, there were a number of correspondents with Director LVD and also the Chief of Staff, John Igliosi. But coming back to, I don't think they should let the McKee people off the hook, and how it reached the point where then he has to swoon in like, you know, don't worry, I'll pick it up. It's all being refunded. I don't understand the decision-making that's going on there. Folks, quick break. Let's go ahead. Politics This Week. Justin Katz, Managing Editor, AnchorRising.com, right here on The John DePietro Show.
Do you need a good plumber? I found the best plumber, JMB Plumbing. Call them today. All your plumbing needs. 401-743-9153. JMB Plumbing. They've been providing plumbing services for years. Skilled professionals stand behind their work. Guarantee you will be happy. Maybe it's repairing damaged water pipes, repair clogged pipelines, maybe replace a water heater, as well as all your plumbing needs. Call them now. It's JMB Plumbing, 401-743-9153. Nothing throws off your life or your home or your business. When you need plumbing service, you need someone reliable, someone who's professional, someone who'll handle the job and do it right. It's JMB Plumbing. Call them today, 401-743-9153, JMB Plumbing, and look for them on Facebook.
Our segment is Politics This Week. With us is Justin Katz, Managing Editor, AnchorRising.com. Justin, there's going to be a new film, and they're doing it in Rhode Island. They had a press briefing late last week, Ella McKay. And it's a story of, a female who she's a lieutenant governor and then becomes governor. Okay, that sounds fine. And then the press conference said Jamie Lee Curtis was there at the State House. Woody Harrelson was there. Steven Feinberg's all happy. But now we've learned that Governor McKee has allowed to let them use his office at the State House at least for 2 weeks. And the McKee people were forced to put out a statement saying he's going to use this as an opportunity to rove around and be boots on the ground and work with other departments. There's something about this that troubles me, and I want to hear your thoughts, but I don't think it's his office to give up. It's Hollywood. You think that they could recreate what his office looks like. I'm just trying to think of, you know, the amount of documents he would have access to. This isn't for an afternoon. This is at least 2 weeks. It could be 3 weeks. I'm at a loss as to understand why it couldn't have been an office at the State House, but why it has to actually be his actual office when you're talking about Hollywood and they could recreate something. But I view it as if like it's not his office to give up. He was elected governor, as I put that. This isn't Airbnb that he just decides, oh, okay, yeah, you can have my office. And now he's going to rove around. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think you're exactly right. You could take just about any room in the State House and spend a little money on some you know, crew from the movie and make it look like a governor's office. It doesn't have to be the governor's office. And, you know, I hadn't actually heard the summary of the plot that it's a lieutenant governor who becomes a governor. And the main character's last name is McKay, which is very close to McKee. The whole thing just starts to feel very bizarre, especially coming at this point with the Washington Bridge debacle and all that. And that was my impression when I saw the clips from the press conference and Woody Harrelson coming up and saying, you know, patting Governor McKee on the back as he goes in the room. I mean, it just seems like an expensive photo op that they've bought with our taxpayer dollars. And so, you know, I'm of the opinion that the more you can get McKee out of his office and trying to do things, probably the better off we are. but it is strange. It would seem that you mentioned, you know, documents. Well, what are they do? What precautions are they taking, and how much is that costing? If there are things in the governor's office, they have to pack up, and if somebody has to go through everything, make sure there's no secret information while the crews are in there. Why not just build a little, build a pretend room in that large conference hall and off the first floor? Nobody in the movie world would know any different. You know, you've got Joe Biden who's doing his own Oval Office media from a fake Oval Office.
That's right.
You don't need to provide this. It's almost like, and Jamie Lee Curtis actually made some statements about how Rhode Island really knows how to treat its actors and its movie people, unlike California or something to that effect. Who's in charge here? How many subsidies are we giving them? We're just sort of, it's almost like Rhode Island rolling over and saying, you own us. Hey, take our governor's office for 2 weeks or 3 months, whatever. We just want some good press, and we want to be able to meet some famous people. Like when was his name? Bowser from Sha-Na-Na came 10 years ago, and everybody in the state house wanted to meet Bowser from Sha-Na-Na. That's sort of the impression you get. And it's just so pathetic as the state falls apart. It's just, the contrast is so clear, but I worry that people see Woody Harrelson with McKee must not be that bad. Then here's this movie about McKay, who becomes the governor after being lieutenant governor. It's just a very, very strange situation.
Yeah, I have a request in his office to find out whether him or any member of his family is now going to make a cameo in this film, but I'll wait to see. Now, speaking of the race for governor, Justin Katz, in fundraising totals came out, and this is all for 2026. I just want your thoughts on, Helena folks and the governor, and they're not far apart. What is your thought that now, right now, it's obviously 2024, but it's really so far off. It's normally, if someone's going to announce they're running for 26 now, November 26, it would really be in the fall of 25. I remember Clay Pell announced in January of 2014, the year he actually ran. Most of the time they do it, in advance, almost a year and a half in advance. But what do you make of this fundraising that Helena folks is seemingly like sitting back, like checking her watch and just waiting for 2026 to roll around?
Well, my gut reaction is, well, as well as she should. I mean, she won election day, right? And watching McKee has got to, anybody who's up for the office and lost to this guy has got to be feeling like, I want my rematch now. So, to some extent, that's probably the case. And the fact of the matter is, we don't have anybody credible who's in another government office, except maybe Nirona. And so I think a lot of people who would be up and coming to challenge the governor would be doing it by doing other things, but she doesn't have anything else, which is what makes it a little bit peculiar. It's just collecting money. I will be good when I do it. Okay, well, you could instead be out there doing other stuff,
right,
being visible in the public without necessarily being so obviously running. But I really can't blame her, because I'm tempted to run for governor, and I don't even want to be governor, because it's just watching this whole thing fall apart is so depressing. So I almost can't blame her.
Yeah, she's been completely quiet. She's not releasing any statements. She did get involved, though, in Johnston, as we had talked about,
yep,
where the mayor of Johnston reached out. There's definitely a relationship there. She then contacted Commerce Secretary Raimondo, who then put her in touch with Mayor Pete. So she did that kind of behind the scenes, but she's been quiet regarding Governor McKee and the whole bridge situation, even though it would be like shooting fish in a barrel at this point. Justin, some of the other stories in the news, I'm curious, any thoughts on Barbara Ann Fenton Fung, who's representative, but she did announce she's challenging current Mayor Cranston, Ken Hopkins. It'll be a Republican primary. They've both kind of been firing off at each other back and forth. She also had a pin, Alan Fung, for first husband. I'm just curious your thoughts on her announcement and her challenging of the current mayor.
Well, I mean, you'd think Republicans could spread out a little bit, but I guess the opportunities to actually win are so small in Rhode Island that they end up fighting each other. The pin bothers me. Alan Fung for first husband. I mean, it implies what, that he'll actually be running the show, or what does that imply? And it's kind of, there's a lack of seriousness to it, which I'm a little surprised at that because their earlier, when he was running for Congress, he had the logo with the Japanese I think it was Japanese art wave or Chinese art, and yeah, the famous painting of the wave, and
yeah,
that caught a lot of media attention and it got him some free press, and it really kind of worked for him. Whereas this pin, it just seems like, what is it you're saying? It really leans into what to me is the most uncomfortable thing about her campaign. All right, we know he can be mayor. We know he's good at that. why does that transfer to his wife? I'm not seeing that connection. And sometimes you see this in Congress or otherwise, but legislatures are very different, because that has more to do with, you know, representing people, having a point of view that people agree with, and you are representative of them. Whereas a mayor, you're running a place, and I don't know what her case for that is. And the fact that they're really leaning into her marital relationship with somebody who's competent raises some questions for me. Well, does she have nothing else to talk about? Why is she running? And that's even made even more problematic in my view, because her record as a legislator is as one of the more progressive ones there, even though notwithstanding the fact that she's a Republican. And so I don't think it was a great start for her campaign.
Now, I also want to touch on, you had mentioned talking about back to the bridge for a moment, but you had talked about, Justin, that people are going to start to move out of that area or businesses can't make it. And I didn't want to not mention that Channel 10 did a story. And this to me is the problem for Governor McKee, because it's real. There's no way to spin this. Ian, for the mayor of East Providence, but they have real business owners. And it was someone that opened September. And they're right on camera saying, and this isn't, you know, the young engineer or the anonymous person with the traffic pattern. This is someone, here's who I am. This is the name of my business. We're not going to make it. We're going to close because of this. People now have a mental block about the traffic, how long it's taking. We just opened in September. We lost 50,000 last month. I'm not sure how much longer we can make it. I just wanted to give you a chance to touch on that, Justin, because that's the that's the reality that McKee, to me, cannot spin his way out of the cataclysmic poor decisions that have been made that are really affecting people's livelihoods.
Well, you know, the thing about the bridge as a problem is, you know, it's going to take years, right, to get it done. So it's devastating to anybody who made an investment. I mean, that particular bar owner that you're quoting, they just took out a bunch of loans. They just opened up. They're in a very vulnerable position right now.
Yeah.
And this is catastrophic. But I think the other person quoted in this, a woman named Olson, who owns a vintage clothing store over there, she captured Rhode Island perfectly. And it's stuff that people like you and I have been saying for decades. And so it's worth grabbing that quote. She said, "Think of how successful we could be if we weren't having to pick up the slack of other people. That is Rhode Island. The government, people are special interests take over government to force us all to pick up their slack, whether that's that's handing them money or letting them have a no-show job for 30 years and then, or 20 years and then retiring for 40 years on a high pay pension while you were sleeping in your car during your tenure as a DOT inspector or whatever it might be. That's just a hypothetical example. But that is the reality of Rhode Island. And if what's so severely, and I think it captures what so severely is lacking in McKee, is where are you, right? I mean, remember when Raimondo was governor and McKee was going to run, and he tried to get all these small businesses around and do a honking by thing, and it was a pathetic show. He didn't manage it well or make it a success. But that was his kind of thing. Okay, where are you, Mr. Small Business Governor? Now, you should be down there, store to store. Telling your DOT director, find me ways around this, and not sending one of your communications people over to DOT to help them spin better, I guess. You should be out there. How can we redirect traffic patterns? What can we do to build a temporary bridge? What can we do? What can we cancel to redirect funds to this catastrophic problem? That doesn't happen. What is causing? Why don't we have enough inspectors on these bridges? Why does it take us so long to finish a bridge? How can we make it go faster? I'm not hearing any of those questions from this governor or from anybody or even from the news media. It's all emails or this or that. This is Channel 10, I think, put their finger on the real problem. These are the stories we need to hear, because it shows you the desperate need to solve this now, quickly. All the other stuff, all the talk about, you know, prevailing wage or whatever union talk, that's got to be put aside, because there are businesses that are going to close, and they are never, ever coming back, because even when that traffic bridge is open, there's the value of the land is gone. The confidence in the government is gone. There's no economic reason to be there. And so I think that's what we're so dramatically missing throughout state government and throughout the media and everywhere in Rhode Island. It's pretty shocking.
It is. And I, you know, you actually, to me, put your finger on it, Justin. In reality, what's so frustrating is Governor McKee should be fired for this whole thing, but we can't fire him. And he's in office until, you know, at the December of 26. And that's, he may even get another term after that. But that's really what it comes down to, is he's really the one that should be terminated and held accountable for this, because it happened on his watch. Folks, we're going to leave it at that. Again, our segment is Politics This Week. He is Justin Katz, managing editor at anchorrising.com. Justin, excellent job as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, John. Talk to you soon.
It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland, diagonally across from Davenport Restaurant. Stop in and see Marie, that historic white church. Shop local, inside, all quality products, vitamins, herbal remedies, trusted companies. They understand quality, integrity. It's My Health. It's all about your health. Local products, ICE, honey, maple syrup, beef fresh gum. You know, they carry over 250 bulk herbs, teas, and spices that can be purchased by the ounce, plus box herbs and teas, hemp and CBD products, and much more natural skincare products. Stop in and see Marie at It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland. It's all about health for you, for your family. There's vitamins for children, all different types of teas, all different types of spices. Boy, what a difference it'll make. Shop local. Stop in and see the Queen of Health. It's Marie at It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland, diagonally across from Davenport Restaurant, right in that historic white church. It's all about health. It's all about your health at It's My Health. A great meal, a great time is waiting for you at the Cohasset Inn. Rhode Island tradition since 1977, 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick. They have a large dining room, perfect, maybe a group, maybe a collation, lunch. The Cohasset Inn, getting a big group together, or maybe just you alone, or a date. 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick. Great staff, terrific food. They're always working on the menu. And they also have a nice lounge as well. You have the market at Cohasset right there. They're open 7 days a week. I'll see you for a great meal. Make it the Cohasset Inn. When it comes to insurance, you need a neighbor, a partner, and friend. You need Choppa Insurance Agency. They're located right on Reservoir Avenue in Cranston. Call today, free consultation, 401-900-INSU, 401-900-4678, Choppa Insurance, SIA. Steven, very experienced, whether it's auto, home, renters, business insurance, flood, recreational, umbrella, any other protection for your assets, Rhode Island and Massachusetts, Choppa Insurance Agency, your agency of choice. Call today, set up a meeting. They're so knowledgeable, can have everything under one roof. Call Choppa Insurance today, 401-900-INSU or 401-900-4678. Look for them on Facebook, again, located Reservoir Avenue in Cranston. Choppa Insurance Agency, your neighbor, your partner, your friend. One-stop insurance solutions.